Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Toby. I'm a little taller than this. Little. There you go. Last week, we were away. Sorry, we were having a baby. And, well, not we, but I was there. And we're so excited. He was Elijah, who's here. He actually arrived about two weeks early, so it was slightly unexpected. So just in case, yeah, you don't see him because he's wrapped up in a little thing, that's him. Born 7:40 in the morning, 6 pounds, 4 ounces, and well, we are so happy. I'm very thankful because I guaranteed a compliant, happy, sleeping baby. I did for the other ones too, which that didn't work out, but he's been really great. A little bit of jaundice, so we have to go back and forth and get more blood tests and things like that. But overall, he's done very well, so thankful. And I also have to say that just full disclosure, Vic said you don't need to preach. Like, you don't have to preach. You know, you're doing this thing. But I said no, I've been kind of mulling over it. So I thought, okay, and I'll go for it. So here we are. The title of the sermon is 5 Surprisingly Unsurprising Facts About the Fatherhood of God. All right, just take a minute, think about that. Even as we this morning we've been singing all these songs and talking about the Father of God, we're going to talk about 5 surprisingly unsurprising facts about the fatherhood of God. And hopefully that will become a little more clear to you. But before we jump right into it, let me just make sure we are all engaged on the same page so that you can think a little bit. So if you see the next slide here, I've prepared for you a 4 fathers, okay? So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a minute. If you had the choice, which you don't, if you had the choice, who would you pick as your father? Okay, just in case you're not sure who these people are, that's Darth Vader. He's the bad boy. You know, you know him. Justin, you know Justin. Denzel Washington, my personal pick, Denzel. That's Ty Burrell. He plays a Phil on the show called Modern Family. He's just kind of this fun-loving, goofy, hilarious. He's like one of the kids. So anyways, turn to your neighbor. If you don't know them, say hi, introduce yourself, and just take a minute and say, if you could pick a father, who would it be? All right? Set? Go. All right, just maybe 10 more seconds. I heard some good conversation here. Just this absolutely means nothing, but just a show of hands. Anybody pick Darth Vader? Wow. Okay, interesting. Look around, okay? Look around, people. How about our very own JT, Justin Trudeau? Anybody? Okay. Okay, we have one hand, Michael. Interesting. Denzel, anybody for Denzel? I mean, come on, Denzel, yeah. And what about Phil Dunphy, yeah? He's just, that would be pretty fun. 5 surprisingly unsurprising facts about the fatherhood of God. You know, here's the thing. We sing all these songs and we say often, you know, we are children of God. And I can tell already that you are not shocked or surprised by that, because we've so heard it over and over again that we don't get how massive that is, that God is our Father and that we are His children. It's as crazy as if, let's say, I sat you down after service today and I just gave you a package of information to show that the Father who you thought was your Father growing up was in fact not your Father. Imagine someone gave you some kind of evidence of blood tests and all this stuff. Okay, maybe it's not these guys, but it's somebody else than you thought it was. It would blow your mind. You would be floored. You would sit down and you would examine your life. You'd say, how did this happen? You know, but I know this Father, but hold on, you're telling me my Father is somebody else? I mean, it would just blow your mind. You would have to rethink everything in your past. You'd think about your future completely differently. And that is actually the message of the Christian faith, that you have another Father, a heavenly Father. The Father who created all of creation is now your Father. It is mind-blowing. But we've kind of just said, oh, yeah, I mean, I know that. I mean, I'm a child of God. And we're just not blown away by that. So what we're going to do is just look at, hopefully build up to, hopefully just in our hearts, gain some of that traction, say, man, oh, God, you are my Father. That is absolutely amazing. And maybe we need to hear that message again. So here we go. I'm going to go right through these. Fact number one. Here we go. God is actually rarely referred to as Father in the Old Testament. Now, there are definitely huge pictures of God saying to Israel, the nation of Israel, you are my son. Absolutely. So in Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, you know, they're in Egypt, and God's speaking to Pharaoh. He's telling Moses to say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son. Right? That picture is there. Israel, this nation redeemed, this chosen nation, God, their father. But actually, addressing God as Father in the Old Testament is very rare. There are about maybe 15 instances of references of God as Father. A few more pictures. And really only really one or two where it really addresses God as Father. So in Isaiah 63, verse 16, it says, for you are our Father, though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not acknowledge us, O Lord. You, O Lord, our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name. So it's there. There is a picture, but there is absolutely, actually, no one, single person, who says to God, my Father, in the Old Testament. Not a single one. In fact, there is a researcher who looked back at not even just the Bible, but all the extra-biblical Jewish writings from, it says here, the beginning of Judaism until the 10th century AD, and there is not a single reference of a Jewish person addressing God directly in the first person as Father. Did you know that? In math, you need to show your work, so I wanted to show my work in this next slide. This is from NAV's topical Bible concordance. Under God, it lists all the ways God is Father, and the yellow ones are the references that are in the Old Testament. But then the rest just are all in the New Testament. And the Old Testament is actually the majority of the Bible. It's about two-thirds of the Bible. And so what we've actually come to know as normal was actually not the case at all. Not the case at all. And that's why fact number two, which is maybe something we kind of know, but don't feel the weight of, is that Jesus' primary identity with God is as Father and Son. And that should smack, it doesn't, but it should. So in the Gospels especially, there are four Gospels. The first three are often called the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They kind of tell a similar storyline, different angles, different perspectives. And then there's John. John is almost like the hashtag BTS, okay? He's like behind the scenes. John is like a completely different angle. He has all these stories that these others don't have. And there are about 165 references to God as Father. And about 100 of them are in the book of John. John just keys in. He's like, man, Jesus, Son, Son of God, Father, my Father. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm doing the work of my Father. So in John chapter 5, verse 17, my Father is working until now, and I am working. Now it's me. John chapter 8, verse 19, if you knew me, you would know my Father also. You know me, you know the Father. John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. But from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Well, one commentary says, this is not just a way Jesus taught his disciples to address God. It was the way. It was, as we were talking about, when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, our Father. This was not the norm. Jesus was not simply building on something that was happening in the Old Testament. He came in and smacked everybody. Everyone was like, what? Because in fact, this became a cause for the Jews to kill him. I don't know in today's day and age what you can say in our context, like in Durham, what you could say to actually cause someone to be so angry to kill you. I mean, that seems pretty extreme in our Canadian context. Perhaps there are other parts of the world where you could say something and it'd be extremely offensive and someone might certainly want to hurt you. But maybe there are things you can say that where you would feel at work they would crucify you. But this is literal. And John again gives us kind of the backstory in chapter 5 verse 18. He says, this was why the Jews were seeking to kill him, more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, so he healed this person on the Sabbath, which was bad in the eyes of the Jewish leaders, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. John tells us the motivation. They were so angry. They were so upset. And then later, finally, in John chapter 10, verse 31, Jesus is teaching the people, and he says these words, I and the Father are one. That's like Jesus' mic drop. That's it. You know what the next verse says? The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. They were infuriated by the identity Jesus took. He said, that's, you see me, you've seen him. It was absolutely mind-blowing that he did this. Guys, don't be like, oh yeah, you know, Jesus' son, yeah, that's all cool. No, he absolutely busted the doors open on this relationship. Fact number three. The death of the Son, Jesus, gives birth to the sons of God. They didn't stone him in that moment, right? Jesus got away, but we know Jesus was then later crucified on a cross. They, perhaps in a sense, won. If you were to watch a movie of the story of Jesus and you saw the crucifixion and you didn't know the rest of the story, you would be maybe like the disciples. You would turn, you would run, you would go back to your regular job. It's over. He's died. He's dead. But actually, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul says this, when the fullness of time had come, when the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under law, that's you and I, so that we might receive, am I reading that right? So that we might receive adoptions as sons. They thought they would kill the Son. This guy who's claiming to be the Son, this is blasphemy. We're going to stone him. We're going to find a way to kill him, for sure. And we did. And it was just before the Passover, and we wiped our hands clean, and we somehow got the Romans to do it, so we didn't really do it. And he was hung on a Roman cross, and that's it. But God says, no, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. It was God's time, not their time. To redeem, to save, to bring back those who were under law so that we might receive adoption as sons. In an amazing way, the death of one means many can come in. We are all sons. And I'm using this in a way, I think we've talked about this before, that sons in terms of both men and women, sons, just like we are the bride of Christ, men and women brides, we get to be sons. It's actually an amazing thing, because in Jesus' day, as it is in many cultures, to be a son was to have inheritance. To be a daughter, there's no way you can inherit. But God is saying, no, all of you, men, women, old, young, children, sons and heirs. But there's more. Fact number four. We can be sure and secure of our child of God identity. I don't know about you, but this is something at moments in my life I've struggled with. Have I believed? Am I a child? Have I lost it? Or was I actually a child of God? Or was I actually kind of faking it? I've had a lot of those moments. I don't know if you've had those moments where you just wonder. You wonder, okay, I've said the prayer, I've done this, I've done that, but am I really a child of God? In Galatians, as we were reading, let me read that to you again, and then I read on to verse 6. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And then verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So God not only sends his Son, and the Son not only saves and redeems us on the cross, he goes even further. He sends his Spirit into our hearts to cry, Abba, Father, to cry, Lord, that you are all I need, to say, Father. It's the energy and the ability to even do it. God says, I'm going to send my Spirit right in you to do it. And if you are a Christian here, this is what I want you to do. In these brief moments, I mean, flash back before your eyes the moments you recall of becoming a Christian. And perhaps the moments leading up to it. I think sometimes when we look back, we think, oh yeah, I did this, and then eventually I responded. But would you look back and see, no, God has been at work that whole time. God's first calling you, perhaps sending people around you, circumstances, and ultimately the Spirit of God who actually enabled you to say, Abba, Father, to say, Father, you are all I need. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Actually, God was at work all the way through. Father, Son, Spirit. And if you are not a Christian, or perhaps you are not sure if you're a Christian, have you made this cry, made this prayer? Abba is an Aramaic word. Aramaic was the language Jesus spoke. Most of the New Testament is written in Greek, so it's different. But Paul and in other places, they found it so important to actually write Abba from what Jesus actually said, those words Abba, into the Greek text. We had a neighbor visit us this week, and she's Indian, and I wasn't there, but Laura told me she began to speak Tamil to him because in a way that's her heart language. When we get maybe near children, you just speak your heart language, and that's all children can do, speak their heart language. And that's this cry, Abba. It's your heart language to God saying, I'm done with myself. I need you. I'm submitting to you. Father, would you take me as your child? That's the cry. It's not like, okay, say that and then you're in, okay? Like that's the secret code and then you get in the door. No, it's this deep welling inside of you. The Spirit of God himself helping you to know and to be sure and to be secure of your identity as a child of God. Last one, fact number 5. I used a lot of exclamation marks, I'm sorry. We are sons. We are not slaves, we're not servants, we are sons. That's who we are. What does Samsung, Volkswagen, Nike, and Walmart have in common? Anybody know? They're all companies. Thank you. Well done. Yeah, they are multi-billion dollar businesses with families who hold the majority share in the company. If you are born in that family, you made it. You don't even need to go to kindergarten, I don't think. Like you said, why? I'm wearing my shoes, I'm good. Right? If you don't have to worry about a thing because you're in the family. Guys, God says the 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills, those are all mine. I mean, I was gonna be smart and like add up all their net worth and it'd be how many ever billions of dollars. Guys, it does not compare to what God owns. He created everything. If you would be excited to be somehow married into the family of Nike or Walmart, how much more should we be excited to be adopted into the family of God? How much more? We are sons. We're not slaves. We're not on the outside. We're not employees. We don't just check in and check out. We are actually in the family business. And that's why I love that coming up this week, as we were talking about the waypoint, we're inviting to do some family business, to join in to calling more sons, more men and women who actually are children of God. They just don't know yet. And they need to make steps. And maybe the waypoint, maybe someone's story will be actually at the Pickering Jam Fest. I ran into these crazy guys, but they had really good coffee, and then I started hanging. I don't know what the stories will be. But it means that as sons, Galatians 4, verse 7 says, you are no longer a slave but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. We are heirs through God. We don't have it all yet. We're waiting. We're waiting. We're heirs. We're waiting, and it's going to come. But in this waiting, we're willing to go. We're willing to suffer. We're willing to even suffer and die a little bit ourselves when we need to step out and say hello and shake a hand, and we feel awkward and we don't know what to say. Maybe that feels like death and suffering to you. Perhaps it does. But we are willing to do that because we are sons, we are heirs, we are part of the family, and we're involved in family business. We are sons, we are children of God, guys. Would you walk away from this day just marveling, as we've been singing, that death can't hold us down. We're alive because you're alive. Thank God for that. Let's pray. God, we forgive us when we simply pray our Father, not knowing the cost of that statement, not knowing that Jesus, your one and only Son, who was with you eternally, put on flesh, and then he was separated from you on the cross so that we could come near. Lord, we live sometimes so ambivalent, so oblivious to the fact that we are your children, that you have everything under control, and that even when things don't seem to go our way, Lord, that you are actually, you are perfect in all your ways. So, Lord, we live into this reality. Even as I think of having a son right now who's just a week old, who's now in my family, I literally named him. We gave him the name, Lord. So we say, thank you, Lord, you've given us a name, and we continue to live in that reality. Lord, for those of us who are sons, but we've actually been outside of the house, we haven't been involved in the family business, Lord, may we come back, Lord, and we know that you welcome us, and Lord, we want to strive, we want to work as hard as we can because we are in the family. So we work hard for the family business. And Lord, for those of us who are not sure, we still feel outside, we're kind of outside looking in, God, would you send your Spirit deep in our spirits to cry, Abba, Father. And know that in that moment, in that instant, we get in because of your Son, Jesus. We pray this in his name alone. Amen. Amen.